Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I've got a bucket of gravy and I want to share it with you. Got a bucket and maybe you can tip it in my mouth and a bucket of gravy for your baby and your daddy. Gravy for everyone. Gravy today. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Charlie Birchall, the guy who couldn't find the rhythm of what Andy was doing. But, and I mean, it's tough with the delay anyway, but I was like, oh, there's, I'm like, and I go, no, that's not where he's putting his, that's not where he's ending his thing.
You know what's the hardest part of this podcast? It's not doing the singing at the start. No. The hardest part is saying your name straight afterwards. So there's no ambiguity about who's responsible for
straight
for
away
what's
they
just
can
happened.
Identify each voice.
My name is Andy Matthews and I endorse this jingle. Alistair, everyone, this is the last podcast of the year. And
the year
such,
is 2020, depending on when you're listening to this. Maybe you maybe you just started this podcast and it's the year 2030 and somehow podcast servers are still running, you know, and the rest of the world is burnt to the ground.
But, a flame, yes.
But you started it and I want you to know we're still doing well. I'm in Tathra, New South Wales at the moment and we're in between heavy fire seasons, and there's a chance that this year, when I'm visiting my parents, I won't have to flee and evacuate an oncoming bushfire, you know?
Yes.
And these were the good years.
Yeah, the off years, you know? You have an on-again, off-again fleeing season, and this is the El Flino,
El Flino is no.
Can we start again?
You really want to start again?
No, I don't.
Okay, great.
No, I don't. No, it's just my get out of my great El Nino El Flino.
El Flino. I get the Nino Flino now. Yeah, I knew it was related in some way.
Oh God. Alistair, before the podcast, just to give you, the listeners. Just reassurance that we have very similar conversations when we're not recording. We were talking about an ecosystem, if we could get rid of plants entirely, or if I could choose to be some sort of higher level carnivore where I've narrowed down some sort of section of the food chain where I only eat things that where plants are not involved. And I think that's possible. Sorry, Alistair. I think that is possible if you can find if you can trace things back so you'll get back to an animal that only eats fungus. Is that fair to say? Right?
Yeah, I think what you're describing is a carnivorous creature that is so carnivorous that as it walks around it even pulls out plants by their roots. Right? And eliminates the whole flora ecosystem and creates systems, you know, it creates new hierarchies. And in a way, it's because, you know, these animals aren't, you know, they're not crazy abundant. So they're easing the environment into
a full meat-based
full meat-based things like that. And so they're removing the plants and quickly creatures have to find a meat alternative. And I'm not talking faux duck, right? I'm thinking they have to move to real duck.
This is really interesting to me as a movie concept But I, a movie concept in which, because you deal a lot in movies with the death of animal life, right? I feel like, you know, in one form or another, like diseases that ravage animals. And
they love a movie that warns us of the oncoming ecological disasters that we're creating ourselves.
Yes. But my one, Alistair, is
all
plants die. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it's just a meat planet. That's the name of the movie. It's the movie's called Meat Planet.
I love it already. Meat Planet. That's going to sell some tickets, Andy.
Well, plants don't just die. They crumble to ash instantaneously. Something happens to the structure of cellulose and it's just gone. It's just dust now. You can't touch it. And then all it is just animals on the planet. That's all that's left. And, you know, the ones that are the omnivores or the vegetarian ones who are, you know, quick on their feet and can reimagine things are able to readjust to start eating
some
of the...
Those are the omnivore curious.
Yes. And... That's very good. And then so it's everything just eating everything, right? Mm-hmm. And like we just see how long we could last because you would last a while.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, I think if you consider, you know, I think you mentioned fungus earlier. I think even slime molds, I think anything that has even a basic, you know, kind of animal style life. Even though these are not animals, I mean,
animal style.
mushrooms are probably too plant like.
They are, yeah. And I think that's not really in the spirit of Meat Planet. The spirit,
no, you're right.
The spirit of Meat Planet to me is just meat on meat violence, and everybody's eating everybody, and then we just see who's at the top of the heap at the end.
And is it bugs? And what about bugs?
I think bugs are in.
Okay.
Bugs are in. Yeah.
So,
the table very much.
What about jellyfish?
Yeah.
Jellyfish are in? Okay, great.
Great. Yeah. If it moves, it
what
grooves.
About? Okay. Just so that we're, you know, we're setting the boundaries of this thing. Blue-green algae.
Well, I don't like that green bit. That sounds very plant-like.
But blue, you know, there's a lot of birds that have blue.
Blue, sure, blue. Yeah. Some crabs are blue.
Yeah,
but green?
Green is very plant-like. Do all green animals die as well? I guess there's not many. But...
Look, I think out of solidarity...
But praying mantises would be out. Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Anyway, think about that.
Yeah, no, Meat Planet, right? And do you think... I mean, how do you think that what's the origins of Meat Planet in your...
Yeah, well, so as I say, like, you know, something that wipes out cellulose, it could be...
So, it's like
so
a,
what
like
if
a,
cellulose
like a
has
petrification
a specific...
of cellulose?
Could be. What about like a burst of gamma radiation? Okay, because you know how microwaves work is that they oscillate radiation in a particular frequency that... There's even a radio wave, but it's like a particular frequency that... that causes water molecules to oscillate and then vibrate, and that heats up the food. So, you know, you could get, say, a star explodes in some distant thing, and a wave of radiation washes over the Earth. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. It could either be
a very specific wavelength that somehow destroys, cellulose molecules.
You know,
or photosynthetic.
It's either
molecules
it's either a star. Or it's a one of those YouTube science pranks.
Great.
You know, like one of those YouTube science pranksters. You know, one of those ones who creates lots of foam in their place or whatever. And they're like, this is
foam.
The most amount of foam.
I don't know much about this, but yeah, it sounds like fun.
You know, but then these guys are like, well, we're going to make the most powerful microwave and they're going to cook a really big burrito, right? And
yep.
You know, and then, but then something goes off and it just creates this kind of electromagnetic pulse in the perfect microwave frequency that splits
all plant
that splits every cellulose molecule in half and creates essentially every plant dies
You know what, though? I just... just then, in that... I think that's very good, Alistair, and I think that's probably how this will happen. But, like, just then, I said, cooks all plant life. But then I had another idea, which is, like, what if something did happen and it did cook all animals? Not humans, but all other animals on Earth are cooked instantly, right? And they're all going to... There's a very limited window in which we can eat them.
Yeah,
before they
preserve
start to go
them.
Bad. Or preserve them, sure. And then so this becomes your mission. You've got maybe 24 hours, right, in which you've got to get all of this cooked meat refrigerated.
Yeah.
Because that's going to have to last us. That's all the meat we're ever going to have unless
that's
we go cannibal.
That's all we got left now. That and yeah. What's on so, the shelves.
Plants are fine, right? Yeah. Plants are fine. So human existence will be able to continue, but meat, the concept of meat, there'll never be more meat. So we got to preserve all that meat, and then we got to ration it out for the rest of human history.
Yeah, and I like
what
that
are we going to do?
That we see this early on, but then we cut to 5 years later when
yeah.
You know, the very last rations of meat are being handed out.
Well, meat would then become like oil in the Mad Max thing, yeah. Right? And it's Eskies full of meat and freezer trucks. Instead of those big tankers yeah. full of oil in Mad Max, it's freezer trucks full of like frozen buffalo or turtle or whatever it is. It's all cooked rat. It's all in there, and you're driving through just normal streets, not even a desert, but you're on the run with your meat.
Suddenly, butchers and people who worked in meat processing plants became billionaires because they were capable of actually processing the meat in some way.
Well, their skills are so...
refining it down to its chop form.
Which no one else would be able to work out.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people don't want to get their hands dirty, despite how rare the meat became, or it's either that or they were just too slow. There was a very small window. If you hesitated for even a moment, Andy, you might not see another rasher for the rest of your life.
Well, I think that those butchers, you know, once meat becomes a limited resource. You're not going to entrust your precious rare meat to a an amateur butcher, right? You always like it becomes like a piece of gold. You take it to a goldsmith. You take it to like this master. Excuse me, I'm burping. This master craftsperson.
Yeah,
it's a real artisanal stuff, and they'd be working with tiny, tiny pieces of meat as well, right? That because we're rashing it out, chops and T-bones and that sort of thing, whatever they are going to become, you know, smaller than your fingernail and presented to people in a tiny little bed of crushed ice inside a little ring case that you open like that, like an esky the size of a one of those ring cases. I said the words already.
Yeah.
And
but,
I feel uncomfortable
saying it
again. Yeah,
they'll be like those, you know, those Listerine... slivers,
Listerine strip,
yeah, strips.
What happened to those?
Oh, I think they're still around. They got to be
still around.
Can't get rid of a good product like that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it is a good product. It felt like when they came in, they were almost universal. Like everyone was. That felt like a product whose time was numbered, and
you
yet they persisted for a really long time.
You know, I think I
every time I saw
around.
Them, I was like, really, they're still making that.
I think I hung around a guy who really liked them, and so I've always seen them through a positive light.
How do you feel? How do you think it would feel like to put one of those on your eyeball?
I think it'd be a great YouTube prank challenge. but I think.
Oh my god, let's do it, Alistair. This could be the start of our YouTube prank. careers.
I mean, we could
all
stamp
you need
them.
Is something big like that.
We could stamp them into sort of like Mickey Blue Eyes kind of fake, you know, fake, you know, blue eye
contact lenses,
lenses, and then and then trick people.
Trick people, great. All you got to do is put in this Mickey Blue Eyes blue contact lens,
and I'll give you
$10.
Yeah, or you film it. Oh, look, we'll send this to you, but you go in the running to win a prize if you live stream you putting it in for the first time.
Yes, we pretend it's a marketing campaign for a new kind of
for Mickey Blue Eyes 2.
Yep, great.
You know, Hugh Grant is back as Mickey Blue Eyes.
Yeah, now Mickey Blue Eyes has risen to become the godfather of the
Don
Mafia clan. He's the Donnie Blue Eyes.
Donnie Blue Eyes. And what happens? He's, you know, because his, you know, I guess he probably fumbled.
Mm.
You know, he was doing some fumbling, and his father-in-law liked the cut of his jib. He probably saved somebody.
I have never seen Mickey Blue Eyes.
But can you imagine already what it is?
Seeing the trailer and thinking, God, that looks like a great film. I think there was a period of time in my life where every single trailer I saw, I was like, man, that's the best. I can't believe they thought of that.
I think my kid's at that age, and I think maybe I think we're wrong. I think we're wrong to look at one of these and think that things are not,
be cynical, you know, not going to be good.
Because I don't think kids watch movies and go, that was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. They go, that was scary.
Yeah. Or they go, I didn't understand that, and so I don't want to watch it. And so they just don't show interest. But,
right.
But, like, I don't think they think that it's because it's bad. It's just they're like, oh, I don't want to watch that.
I think every pop culture opinion I've ever expressed, I've come to regret.
Yeah.
You know, especially the ones where I dismiss something.
Where you dismiss something?
Where you dismiss something. Where you dismiss some genre of music, some artist, some whatever it is. If you dismiss it, you're going to regret that because... Yeah. Because it's just like, who the fuck cares what I think, you know? What?
Yeah.
Why do I get to dismiss anything? Everything, you know, if somebody likes it, that's valid. Except for comic book movies.
We're on the right network. We're on the right network. I have to admit, I've tried to watch comic book movies, and it's just like, I'm like, oh, I already know everything that's going to happen. There's not going to be a single surprise in this. It's not going to be interesting in any way. I mean, look, I did watch Ragnarok because I was like, oh, this is actually going to be different because it's somebody with a creative mind that's doing it. And making it in a way that it's not supposed to be made.
Yep. I will say that I saw the trailer. Oh, sorry, Al, finish your thought.
No, go.
I saw the trailer for the new Loki film, and I was like, I have genuinely no idea what this movie is about. I have no idea how this is a comic book movie, how this is even a movie. I'm actually interested to see what the fuck is going on here, because this seems like nonsense. So, you know, maybe that's something. Maybe nonsense is the...
I think the problem with most comic book movies is that we're so early in, I guess, you know, we're so early on. I mean, I guess with, like, let's say James Bond, they're not, like, in every episode, every movie going, anyway, this is how James Bond became James Bond. Right, they can just get to it. They can just go, all right, now he's riding a wave of ice, and now his underpants, they have rockets in them, you know, and they can just get to the
good stuff, you know, the good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And he can blow up his ass, and he can, and there's a villain now who's got some other weird deformation.
I want to see the James Bond movie that you make. That's what I want to see. Because so far I'm hearing a lot of ass stuff and pants stuff that generally hasn't been explored to my mind in the traditional oeuvre of James Bond.
I think it's... Yeah, I think it is. It probably is a lot of ass stuff, but, you know, he just does it in a sexy way.
Mm. There has never been a James Bond gadget. In fact, there's never been a James Bond moment in which he has had to hide anything in his ass. And I reckon, I have a feeling that that is probably 90% of what spying is.
Being a spy, it's putting things up your bum,
you know? Microfilms, little canisters of poison of some kind, you name it, you put it up your bum.
That's how it works. I got to write a second thing down. So spying.
I think our two versions of the meat planet thing are things, right? Okay. So there was one where all plants die, and one where all animals get cooked instantly. Those are two ideas, okay. Alistair. You cannot tell me. Oh, it sounds like you think you can tell me.
Yeah, but I'm just writing, so you know it's hard for me to put my appropriate tone. Spying has got more butt stuff than you think.
Yeah, that's. I think you could do a. If you wanted to take it in this angle, you could do a parody sort of scene of that bit in James Bond where he's going to visit Q, but every single thing that Q has to present is something that goes up his butt.
Is a butt, yeah. Well, I mean, because you could imagine you have a vial of poison, like a suicide vial, if you're going to get tortured, and then maybe strapped to your leg or, in your shoe or whatever, you've got the actual... it's the suicide butt plug. And so you just have to... So you've got that vial of poison in your butt. Right. And then in order to crunch it, you just have to take the suicide butt plug out and put it into your butt, and that'll crush the vial inside your butt.
Great.
It will just fill the cavity. It could just be like a rip cord, like one of those ones that you pull for like inflating a raft... emergency route like that, and it just goes into your butt like that, and you go like that, and it fills up the cavity like that and crushes any glass that's in there and allows it to leak out, pushes the glass, the broken glass, into the side flesh, and then opens a wound so that the poison can get in.
You know what, that sounds like it would work,
but that would also work for those temporary super soldier type serums. The quickest way to get it into your body to activate
it. Absolutely right. Yep. There's a little ripcord dangling out of your butt.
Yeah. You could, and when you're going through security, you can just pass it off as a tampon.
There you go. But isn't the butt, like when they do suppositories, right? Isn't one of the advantages of that is that it releases slowly? Like if you just have something that dissolves, to put it in terms that other people might understand, am I wrong in thinking that like putting drugs up your butt, an ecstasy tablet or something, has some sort of effect of like slowly dissolving into your bloodstream and giving you like a longer something?
I don't remember whether it's slower or whether it's a more efficient entry point. I think it might be less like quick than sort of snorting, crushing up something and snorting. But I think maybe people use it as a more intense high. Maybe like intense and long lasting. It could be like having edibles or something like that. I think each method of delivery has its own benefit.
Unique.
Which makes you think that eating probably should have more variation? Why are we absorbing it only through our stomach when we could be getting it in? Like, is there a food that you can snort? That you could just get into the blood vessels in your nasal passage?
Well, I wonder, because, like, sugar.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, powdered sugar. If you snort, I guess sugar. But, like, you know, if you just went as simple as you can and just, like, icing sugar, right?
Yeah.
And you snorted that, some of that would dissolve, some of that glucose would dissolve into your bloodstream.
Yeah.
Get the sugar to your brain faster, maybe.
Yeah, and is it like, is it important that it gets processed through the stomach?
I think the stomach has
been, or can you, can
has
you
a monopoly.
Can you put sugar directly into the bloodstream? Is that okay?
I think that's what they do in those intravenous drips, right?
Yeah.
We bypass the stomach all the time. The stomach thinks it's you know. It's for thousands of years. The stomach has got to decide what does and what doesn't go, or the, you know, and the small intestine, what does and what doesn't go into the bloodstream.
Yeah.
But I say we seize back the means of
putting things into the bloodstream.
Diffusion, and we
yes. Transfusion.
Yeah, great. And we put into the bloodstream, what we want to put into the bloodstream, not what the small intestine wants to put in the bloodstream.
But,
and that might mean getting anything that you want, you can get it in a fine powder now, and you can snort it.
Or a solution. And
it'll go into the brain.
Dissolved into sort of like salty water. Are you typing?
Well, that's so that you can do it intravenously, right? But I like snorting. I like snorting
sure.
more.
No, but I mean, it's like, imagine having smoothies intravenously.
Because,
I mean,
right.
You know, why do only salts and sugars get to go in through a drip when you could be getting, you know, sort of, you know, a mango, you know, what's like one of those sort of like boost juice names?
Yeah, a four berry blast.
A four berry blast.
Monkey mango magic.
If the problem with the stomach, if the need for the stomach is just to break things down, what if I've already mechanically broken things down? Is there a way? And how would it taste if you had it just directly into your blood? Especially when it's ice cold.
What would that taste like? Do you think over time the blood vessels would evolve taste buds? And the ability to taste things? Because it seems superficially at the moment that it wouldn't taste like anything at all. That's my first instinct, Alistair.
I know,
and I don't want to rule it out.
But Andy, some of those those veins will transport things into your tongue. Now, I don't know if the back end of a taste bud tastes.
Yeah.
But it feels like that's where the signal goes. It doesn't go off the tongue up through the palate of the mouth into the brain. It goes backwards. And I feel like there's going to be an intercept there.
I think, imagine the shock that your tongue would experience tasting something from below. That's when you think you're in an empty room and somebody taps you on the shoulder. That is your blood running cold right there. And you're a taste bud on the surface of the tongue, thinking there's no food in the mouth, just tasting that neutral tongue flavor. And then, bam, what's this behind you?
Well,
it's an entire molecule of gravy.
Think about it. Like, you have been sitting there without anything to taste for at least a week and a half. It's probably how long it takes for the tongue to realize that intravenous tasting and eating has occurred. Because it's through boredom that it goes, well, I wonder what things at the base of the tongue taste like.
This is absolutely how this would play out, Alistair. I've got no criticisms.
No, but Andy, think about
what a perfect analysis.
No, but it's like standing in the dark for long enough, you know? Suddenly, even the tiniest bit of light can illuminate the room for you.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Your tongue's taste buds widen their pupils, or, you know, widen their sensitivity.
Dilate.
To the point where they can taste things and flowing in the blood below. They're like sharks now. They can taste a flavor half a mile away.
Great. I think it's something. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
It's intravenous tasting.
Okay, great. Would you wear a sort of a tongue condom for a period of time if you were promised that after, say, a month of wearing it, if you were to take it off, you could taste like a child again, tasting for the very first time?
Yeah, right. So the tongue, what, wipes all my memories? Or, I mean, the tongue condom wipes my memories?
It's possible that that the way in which we remember flavor, like, I don't think I have strong memories of flavor, right? Mm.
But I think orgasms are a bit like that. I think the idea is that you know, you never remember really how good it is. You kind of just go like each one. You kind of just need to go through it in order to have a proper memory of it. You know, to experience them. Itself, you can't just go back and go, oh, that one was good.
Maybe all orgasms are the same orgasm.
Do you think there might only be one orgasm?
There's just one orgasm. It's like electrons.
It's like
there's one orgasm in the entire universe.
It's like a very not scientific theory of electrons, right?
Exactly.
Because it doesn't apply necessarily to electrons doesn't mean it doesn't apply to orgasms.
Exactly. That's still a good theory. We just got to find out what it applies to.
It could be that it's like, you know, it's like Santa Claus, but maybe like it's just another guy, Martin Orgasm. Right? And he just travels from genital to genital through fourth, you know, through
incredible
fourth dimensional space. Going down various pipes, chimneys, as he refers to them, delivering orgasms.
Are we emptying a sack? Are we doing that?
Well,
we
I suppose on some occasions they're doing that.
Yeah.
Occasionally fluttering a outer labria. I don't know. I don't know what happens.
But... Okay, what is the world in which there is only one orgasm like? Do people have to book the orgasm? You know, do countries go to war to get control over it?
I mean, there's a possibility we're living in that universe now.
Yes, sure.
And sure. It could be some sexologists, you know, that finally get accurate enough data to realize that no two orgasms happen at exactly the same moment.
And actually, simultaneous orgasms don't happen.
And that it's actually impossible to make two people come at the exact same time.
Well, then, if there is only one orgasm, though, then I think that it might be possible for evil scientists to capture it in some kind of electromagnetic field.
Sure.
Right? And then they could hold it to ransom and not let the world have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, this would have happened relatively, you know, deep into this full-length film.
Yeah.
Because it would take a while to establish this one orgasm theory and how it works. And also whether or not we're personifying it through Martin Orgasm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Who is essentially a sort of a disembodied soul that kind of travels around.
Could be an alien consciousness.
Yeah.
You know? That knows, came to Earth.
Really knows how to make people feel good.
Exactly.
Maybe really that's just wants what it feels like humans to interbreed, to breed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we weren't doing it. I mean, it doesn't explain animals who seem to, I'm sure, have a good time, some of them. I don't know. There's a lot of sex talk. A lot of sex talk.
Is there?
That I'm extremely comfortable with.
With what? Like, wait, when did this happen? Is this because, I don't know, Andy. I don't think I've ever seen you become uncomfortable about sex talk, but... but I suppose there's a reason. I suppose your talk should match the way that you do it.
Exactly. That's right.
Uncomfortably.
Very uncomfortable.
Andy has a penis with no skin, which is why he has the first...
Oh, I was just going to say I've got a very lumpy bed, but all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you think the skin plays a big part?
The skin of the penis?
But do you think like a penis with no skin could still reach orgasm? Do you think, or is it happen kind of internally?
Oh, I mean, I think it would be difficult to get anybody else involved. You'd have to achieve it on your own terms.
Yeah, which I think is a relatively common practice.
You know what? I've heard of this occurring. Yeah. I think, good Lord. So no skin. So
it feels like the buzz, you know, like the little
bleeding flesh.
Eh?
Bleeding flesh.
No. I'm not talking about bleeding flesh. I just mean like it feels like there's something deeper that's really what's hitting.
But,
I don't know.
But you'd still, but no skin means no skin, Alistair.
No, right? I know. But
like you're talking about a skinned.
Yeah, I know. But thing. I think I'm imagining that whatever is there has sort of hardened.
Some skin-like properties.
Well, no, has like had some time to settle into some kind of homeostasis in which it's no longer just losing blood. You know, it's scabbed over or something like that.
Okay,
But if it was just skin, if it was just the skin, you could achieve it on any part of the body, an orgasm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
I think there's got to be something a little bit deeper that is like...
Well, it might be special skin. It might have special skin.
Could be.
You can't rule out skin itself being the thing that is unique.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
There could also be something deeper as well.
Could be a little trigger.
But then
a little red button.
Yeah. I don't know what's deeper is... How would it be sensing what's going on? Pressure, I suppose.
But pressure, Well, it's a complicated thing. It's like it needs to get
it's
into
hard
the
to
mood.
Reverse engineer.
I think if that bit fell from the sky, from an alien, you know, that same bit fell from an alien.
Yeah.
Say
okay.
in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Crashed through a barn. Just that bit, the bit that activates it inside both the male or the female organ, right? And it crashed through and, you know, but this is from a large creature.
Yeah.
And the FBI came by and they were like, or the CIA or whatever, and they were like, oh, at first they say, it looks like it's the bit of a genital, a huge bit of a genital that might be responsible for triggering an orgasm. And then on the next day they'll be like, we mean it was a weather balloon. Forget we said anything. Right? And then they would take it back to some base, some compound. And then for the next 100 years, or 70 to date, they... they would try to reverse engineer this bit. And they'd put it on various ships and see if it makes them orgasm. They couldn't quite do it. They'd put it on, they'd try to graft it to a man's arm. See if they could make his arm orgasm. They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But yet this bit does do that.
Yeah. It does. But and they're so confident. I mean, imagine the enormous amount of pure belief that you would have to have that your diagnosis is correct to keep working on this thing under that assumption for 70 years. You haven't achieved orgasm with this alien sexual organ once in 70 years. But you've got your best men and women on it, rubbing at it every day.
I suppose it would have had to have landed here with a little bit of splooge.
It's like that Stargate. It's like that Stargate gate.
Yeah.
That they're trying to decode to get it to open.
You know, and occasionally they rub it and they just, their sensors see that twinkle. That twinkle that's like, you know, it's that like twinkling sensation that makes it mean something's starting. This is beginning.
And, I mean, what if this was the way in which aliens approached Earth, right? Mm. That before they'll come to Earth, they will send down a replica of one of their sexual organs, and we have to please it in the correct way. We have to decode the way in which to pleasure this alien, and then because these aliens are fuck fiends. And they're not going to bother with no planet that doesn't know how to make them feel good.
Of course. Yeah.
That's all it is.
And that's right. And they're just sending by just probes. They come by, drop off.
To every planet.
Drop off the organ, that specific bit of the organ. And then inside the organ is also a communication device. But I mean, I think you can probably, when you're an advanced enough civilization, you can probably from across the galaxy sense an orgasm occurring on another planet when you got the right equipment.
Yeah.
And so they're just there. They got their, you know, radio antennas going.
Little control room. Yeah. And then they see some little light starts flashing in the sector Alpha Gamma 12.
You know, they go, oh, we're starting to get something in the Earth, in the Earth direction. They go, and they instead of get a little bit of that sweat on their brow.
Hot under the.
You can sense because the guy who's looking at the thing is just starting to, you know, pull at his collar a little bit, and he's wiping. He's getting a tissue instead of. Mopping
so they
his
have
brow.
A collar. They have tissues on this planet.
Yeah,
it's all a.
I think if you've got orgasms, you got collars and tissues.
That's absolutely true.
They go hand in cock. cock in hand. That would make more sense. Anyway.
No. That's great. And so this is like our movie Arrival or some other thing. But instead of having to learn an alien language or, how to use some piece of technology, it's how to... make the thing do the thing.
Yeah.
Thing wise. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, they just send down their sexual organ. And then once you do, we'll come and we'll have sex with you. Great.
Okay.
Feels like you could pitch this to Seth Rogen and you could.
This would be made.
This would definitely be made.
Within weeks. This is a real Seth.
Within weeks. It doesn't matter.
I think they well,
COVID,
if the idea is good enough,
that Hollywood is the epicenter. Of
I like
COVID.
To think that if when a movie idea is so as good as this, they have ways of making it happen a lot faster.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Probably a lot of studios would chip in,
and Ben
because
Hur,
they'd see the value of it.
Ben Hur, they still took a year and a bit to make, but. And that was a really good idea. But an idea this good, They could do it in a couple of weeks.
They could turn it around. That's just my feeling.
Andy, if the Meat Planet two ideas are two ideas, then we are on five. And so...
That's good news for everyone.
It takes us to a point where we can get words from a listener. And Andy, have we already done the Bjorn Hop one?
I mean, that name sounds familiar, but maybe it just because it fits so beautifully into the folds of my brain. I love that name. Yeah, no, let's hear it. Bjorn Hop.
Do you want to guess the words? Eh?
Yeah. I'll guess him. Rhododendron?
No. Kindergarten.
Cop. Cop.
No, Andy. Doppelganger.
No. Kindergarten doppelganger. These are great words.
Andy, now there's a pattern here. There's a pattern here, and I want you to recognize it.
These are all German-derived words. Words derived from Germanic. Yeah.
So language. I feel like you're going to guess this next one.
Kindergarten doppelganger Schadenfreude.
Oh, that was close, Andy.
Kindergarten
doppelganger Zeitgeist. Bratwurst?
Zeitgeist. Kindergarten doppelganger Zeitgeist. Kindergarten doppelganger Zeitgeist. Kindergarten doppelganger Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist. So what does that mean? I mean, you send your children off to kindergarten. You get back children, and this is their guarantee at the kindergarten. You will get back a child that looks exactly like your child.
And
of greater or equal
value.
Greater or equal value. Oh, my God. Imagine that. Okay, so... That's their guarantee. Yes, absolutely. That if something happens to your child, they'll give you one that's as good or better.
Mm.
And sometimes
that just means the kid that you'll get back will have learned something. I think that's how they were initially just trying to pass it off. You know, the kid that you bring in, you'll get a better kid coming out. That's how they're passing it off, right?
Right.
But in the phrasing.
They've left themselves a legal loophole.
Yeah, in which they can have your kid destroyed, you know, by accident most of the time.
Yeah.
And, clone him or her and create a better one. Maybe one that has a golden finger.
I think... But I think they could also just send you off with a totally different kid, but it's just a better kid.
Yeah.
And like initially you're sad, but you actually, you know, legally you have no leg to stand on because you try and take that to court. They're going to put that kid on the stand. They're going to ask a bunch of questions. It's going to know all the answers. It's going to be able to prove that it's a better kid.
And deep down
in your heart of hearts, you know that you love this kid more as well.
And the thing is that, you know, when the kids walk in to daycare or whatever now, and they get the laser gun on their head to check their temperature.
Yeah.
What they're actually doing is taking a snapshot of their consciousness when they come in.
Their consciousness.
So that any new kids that they put in, they can give them the old consciousness so that they recognize you when you show up. Right, and the kid loves you, has every memory, right, but is a little bit better. They might not look the same, but they might look more like you in a way that you appreciate more, that reminds you of your childhood and the good parts of your childhood.
This is a great idea. I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't already a conspiracy theory in some way. You know, like certainly that pushing that that thermometer to your head, flashing a laser on your brain. If there's not a Facebook group dedicated to suggesting that they're scanning your consciousness or in some way damaging your frontal lobe intentionally to make you more compliant, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah, it seems crazy that I haven't even heard one yet.
Oh, we are breaking new ground in Fringe Madness.
So I just got to finish writing this and then more greedy.
No, I had a thought about sheeple. What was it about sheep following?
Here is the sheeple. Fuck. Here is the spout.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
I'm done, Andy. I can take us through the sketch ideas if you like.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Andy, we got two Meat Planet sketch ideas up front. These are probably bigger. These are probably films, full-length films. This could be the Armageddon, deep impact scenario that we had roughly, 23 years ago?
That's it. One's going to be called Meat Planet, and one's going to be called Butcherland.
Exactly. Land of the Butcher.
Very similar concepts.
Yeah. One is that all meat is cooked at once, which kills all animal life. But we've only got, and now, but all the meat is really well cooked. And we just got this, you know, we've got just this last bit of time left to preserve as much of the meat as we can or eat as much as you can. Some people will go that eating as much as you can route.
But that's like the grasshopper who didn't save anything for winter.
That's right. Instead, they just ate meat. And then you got the other one where all plants die and it's replaced with an all-meat ecosystem.
I understand why some people on the podcast don't feel like those are two ideas to absolutely stand on their own, but I'm one of the people on the podcast who disagrees.
Yeah, Andy, all these ideas, Andy, you can't take a sentence and say that this doesn't stand alone. You haven't heard where it goes yet.
That's true.
Show me a sketch idea at 7, and I will show you the sketch. 7
what
is years
7?
Old.
7, okay.
7 years old.
I'd hope there'd be something by then.
Yeah.
After you've been working on a sketch for 7 years.
Yeah, but at this point, you know, you don't go, show me the baby at birth and I will show you the man. No. 7. Spying has got more butt stuff than you think. That's the, and that's, you know, it's probably just a cue-based thing. Cue-based sketch with all the butt stuff.
Yep, or it could be like a spy induction kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Of any kind, yeah.
Spy induction, great. Then we got intravenous eating. You know, but specifically intravenous tasting.
Yeah, it's from beneath the tongue. The taste is coming from inside the tongue.
Exactly.
See, that's a reference that never gets overused.
Well, I don't know. I don't think most modern people are doing this.
Great.
Yeah, especially regarding tongues, Andy. Then we got the one orgasm theory. There's only one orgasm. And sexologists...
Some high concepts today, and I love it.
Sexologists are realizing, and I mean, there's a chance in which you could realize that maybe, you know, orgasms are fundamental to the universe.
Oh,
so they're the actual building block. I mean, it's the only time in which matter is created.
that's flawless.
We don't know until this point that. That's the only thing that breaks the conservation of matter rules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you weigh the testicles...
Nobody's done this. Nobody's weighed the testicles before.
Weighed the testicles before and after.
And compared that to the weight of sperm.
To the amount of stuff that comes out. You actually... The evidence is overwhelming. The whole situation is overwhelming.
You know, they won't even approve my funding to do this research. I think they're scared of what I'll find.
Yeah. I think they probably already know what I'm going to find, and they're trying to hide it from the general populace.
Every time they come into the lab and I've got my balls on one of those little digital scales.
Yeah. The cooking ones.
They get really upset.
Yeah, well, because they know I'm close to something. Then we got the bit that triggers orgasm, crashing to the earth.
Ah, yes.
From an Roswell. Alien species.
Yep.
And seeing whether or not man or woman can figure out.
Or both.
Or both together.
Yeah, that's probably what we'd have to discover.
You think it's working together would be the lesson of that?
Yeah. Yep.
Great. Finally, something that has never happened before.
No.
And then we've got the kindergarten guarantee. We'll send you home with a child of equal or greater value.
That's really good. That's a great place to end.
Yeah.
All right, Dinkle.
Dinkle?
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. God, we appreciate that you do that.
We do.
I've been Andy, and I'm a stupid old Andy on Twitter.
And I'm at AlistairTB on Twitter, and we're at 2 in Tank. And you know what? You can find us in all the regular places. Oh, wait. Somebody left a review.
That's great.
On our pod. And anyway, by the way, you can find us on Instagram, and you can also support us on Patreon, which some people have recently joined.
That's
our
remarkable.
Patreon, joined the Patreon
Incredible.
Family.
Oh, and it is a family.
It is a family. We don't have meetups yet, but that's because we're not as close as we could be.
Well, that's all good families.
This person who wrote this review, they wrote it. They're from Australia. They said that the review starts with the subject, shout out. Am I writing this review for the hope that I get a shout out during the podcast? Maybe. Lee Warren is my name. But besides that, this podcast is just super enjoyable, both for listening and laugh while doing the dishes or a nice wind down as I go to bed. Great work, guys. Keep up the great work. And we'll give
Thanks,
you the
Lee.
Two in the thank you so much, Lee Warren Apps. Lee Warren Apps is their username. I don't know why. Maybe they make apps. Lee, would you make a Two in the Think Tank app?
What would that be?
What would that be?
What would that look like?
But let's have a meeting, Lee Warren Apps.
And this is the shout out that you wanted.
Yeah. I think this is what this is. So anyway, everybody who's written reviews, we've absolutely enjoyed them. And we are not beneath reading them up. I mean, we could start. Anyway, take care of yourselves. It's almost New Year's Day.
Yeah.
We're only
have a good
2 days away.
Have a good life.
Yeah, take care of yourselves.
And we
love you.
You.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.